Jowson, you better give me a beat to start the show before I pull off these booty shorts.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Romantic Truth Podcast. Please be advised that content of this show is for a mature audience 18 years and older due to language and subject matter. Now, without further ado, here is your host, my lovable ex-Jowson.
Hi everyone, Jowson with you here. Romantic Truth Las Vegas, baby. Yes, keeping it real. Now, what we're going to talk about today has to do with you either being famous or dating someone who's famous. Yes, we're going to talk about that. Now, Darlene out of Atlanta, you wanted to know some specifics if I knew anything about publishing karaoke songs. Now, I'm no expert, but I do have songs that are already out there on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, legally. Let me tell you, I'm not talking about karaoke songs, I'm talking about original music. Here's the thing though, when it comes down to karaoke, you're going to have to get a mechanic's license. You're going to have to also pay the composer, so you're going to have a license for that, as well as performance license. Now, I don't know if you're going through an aggregator such as a Muse or some other TuneCore or someone like that, but here's the thing to keep in mind. You have to have permission before you do it. Don't gorilla it like some people do. They go out there and they just put it out there and then they pull the song and then before you know it, they got legal papers coming from the artist. You don't want to go that route. So, it may cost you. There's some songs that you may not be able to publish because of the fact that they may have a minimum that you got to make off of that before they would even consider it. So this is something you're going to have to see. You might even have to sign a contract with the artist in order to publish it. It depends. Do your due diligence and your research on that. Now, I will have something that will play on the show later on that will give you some kind of guidance on it, because I had to go and pull the research myself to take a look at it. And there was a good question that you asked. And the thing also that Darlene's dealing with right now is the fact that she's just started a relationship and she's trying to navigate the relationship and what she's planning on doing, because she's planning on eventually getting into the music industry and singing various songs. But one thing I'll give you a piece of advice on, Darlene, get your own material. It's much easier, because with that you don't have to worry about anyone else, and the money will be coming to you, the royalties. You don't have to worry about royalties for somebody else, that kind of thing. Alright, now here's the thing. Let's look at a few facts here. If you are dating a celebrity or someone who's famous in the public eye, if you're not on par with them as far as fame, you will have to take a step back, whether you like it or not, because you will embarrass them without knowing you're doing so. What I mean by this, take for instance, there's something going on in this person's career. They want your perspective on it. When I say they, I'm talking about media. You say the wrong thing, you reveal too much, you're done. And that person may have a blemish in their career. Now, in some cases, their managers and agents will have a say into how you're exposed to the public. And the reason for that is they get paid off of that celebrity. They don't want you to fuck it up for them. So this means that more than likely they're going to have you in the shadows. Now, don't be surprised if they actually match the celebrity up with someone else, at least publicly, through a PR stunt, because of the fact that you may not be presentable enough for prime time. Now, usually what they will do is have implications that this person is dating someone. They may go out to lunch or dinner together and be seen at a nightclub together. And they will let the audience and the media make the suggestion that, oh, they're a couple, when in actuality, they're probably seeing other people. Now, the other thing too, the drama. You will have to be a drama-free person, because any little crack in the armor that they see, they're going to run with it. TMZ and all the rest will run with it. Any offhand comments or anything like that. If you're invited to any kind of venue, such as maybe an interview where you and your partner are being interviewed on a show or something like that, be mindful and careful of what you say. You may want to go over it with your partner and his or her handlers about what is okay to say, what's not okay to say. Sometimes they will do what we call pre-cut interviews, meaning that they will come in and they will tell the interviewer areas to stay away from, things to talk about, things not to talk about, that kind of thing. Usually, most interviewers will not abide by this, because after all, they want to definitely keep people watching the show. So you have to be very mindful of what comes out of your mouth. Now, you don't want to be brash. You don't want to say that's none of your business or something like that if they ask an inappropriate question. You'd have to work on finessing it. Well, so what do you guys sleep in at night? Well, we're just like any other normal couple. You see how bland, how generic that answer was? So what it would mean is you position yourself in a way where if they went with a follow-up question, it would be probing, which means the audience listening to the show would be uncomfortable with the interviewer going further with it. The thing is to give an answer, but not an answer that's too revealing about your personal life. Now, it's up to the celebrity to tell the interviewer, well, you know, that's a personal matter. I don't discuss that. Not for you as an individual, being that you're tagging on. Now, a lot of people are not really suited for this type of interaction or this type of lifestyle, because your partner is going to always be the one that's going to get the center of attention. So if you have low self-esteem, if you're a person that wants to pursue stardom yourself, this may not be the right relationship for you. Because once they see that you're trying and you're running on the coattails of your partner, you're done. You're completely done. Now, going out doing something independently is okay, provided that you distance yourself from your partner. You don't want a close association with what you do, and you don't want anything that's controversial. Because if you start that, then they're going to say birds of a feather flock together. And then they'll go to that partner of yours and say, well, why is your partner doing this or doing that? They'll try to pit the two of you against each other. So with this, there's an understanding. Now, partner's going to be traveling a lot without you, attending events, mingling, interacting with other people. This comes with the territory, promoting films, records, or whatever they're doing. And you're going to have to adjust to that. Now, the other thing, controlling your temptations is going to be vital. This means if you're at a party, you don't want to go out there and drink it up and be the damn fool trying to get attention. You also do not want to be that person that's trying to make connections while you're there. Back climbing. That's the worst thing you could do. Let your celebrity partner introduce you to these people. And once that is done, please keep in mind that that celebrity partner is the conduit for you to communicate with them. You always go through that celebrity to get to them. You never go to them directly unless they start treating you as a couple, where they build relationships with the both of you, but you do not want to back climb somebody and just try to go and just step over them. This is how a lot of gold diggers wind up with no gold. They will think that, oh, well, I got invited to this event by this basketball player, this celebrity or whatever. Let me go and do my networking. Worst thing in the world you could do. Because once these people see that you're trying to get into their circle, they're going to treat you like an outsider. Because they see this all the time. Another thing. Money. That should never come up in a conversation when your celebrity partner gets you in an environment of social circles. You don't talk about a contract someone signed. You don't talk about how much money they're making. You don't talk about, you let them do the bragging and talking. You don't. You just observe and listen. And then, you know, you can give a complimentary comment. Well, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing your film when it does debut. Keep money out of your mouth. The next thing. Some of you may try to start your career and your celebrity partner is not helping you. There's a reason for that. They want you to do it on your own and they're establishing some distance between you, so just in case you fall on your face, make a poor choice, they're not blemished. They may still love you, but when it comes down to the bread and butter, this person is making it for you. You don't fuck that up, because there are a lot of people that jobs depend on that celebrity being successful. From the housekeepers all the way up to the agents and managers and even the executives at whatever entity they're working for. Another thing you have to realize is that a part of them belongs to that company, belongs to that contract. So you're not going to get their full attention like you would in a conventional relationship where somebody comes home from work and then they could go and purge and tell you what's going on, which boss they hate and all this. They may have some sentiments that they can't share with you, because if they did, it would ruin it for them. And not only that, you may react in a way that may not be appropriate. And I know some of you are saying, well, what about Jay-Z at the Grammys when he brought that up about Beyonce for Album of the Year? You got to remember, Jay-Z is a billionaire. He's worth $2.6 billion. He doesn't need to kiss anybody's ass. Beyonce can quit making music today, and she's fine for the rest of her life without a problem. They're already established. And both of them were successful celebrities. But when you have one that's a successful celebrity and the other one's trying to get their footing in life, it's a different story. Now, some celebrities may decide to, they love you, they want a relationship with you, they want to keep things evolving. And what they may do is give you a few toys or a few projects or something to keep you occupied, to keep you out of, just like a child, just like a parent with a child, to keep you out of dipping into something that may compromise them. Now, another thing. Do not be surprised if you have to sign a non-disclosure agreement. NDAs vary as far as some of the things that are covered. Usually, it covers anything that's going to compromise that celebrity's reputation or anything associated with the organization they work for, all the way down. Expect to sign an NDA. In many cases, they last for 7 years. Whatever you do, if the relationship is not working, end it and don't write a book. Don't go on social media and try to make a living off of that person's indiscretions. It's going to harm you more than it'll help you. The reason being, a lot of people support your partner. That's how they got famous. You will be nothing but viewed as a hater and someone that is disgruntled. Now, the only exception would be if there was something that was done illegally and it has been proven. That's a whole different matter there. NDAs out the door. But if it's something that you're upset about that involved a relationship, maybe the person didn't take you on a trip with them or something like that. Just leave. Confidentiality is very important. Now, another aspect of this. Red carpet events. You may escort your partner or may be escorted by your partner. Don't speak unless spoken to. Nobody's going to tell you that, but it will help you. Because what happens then, it puts you in a better situation. People don't know about you because you haven't spoken. Oh, and they're going to do their research on you, so you want to make sure that you got a clean bill of health as far as your background. Because dealing with someone like this, and they're going to check you out well before you start dating, trust me. And when I say they, I'm talking about the agents, the managers, the press, the media. Because if there's something in your background that's questionable, you're going to be under a microscope. So you might not be ready for the light being put on you in a way. Now, please remember, everything that your partner tells you is confidential. You don't share that with their crew, with their staff, or with anyone else. She may hate the contract she signed, and she's purging to you about it. Don't you go to her bosses or anyone else saying anything. That's not your place. This is one thing you have to realize when you're dating a celebrity or with a celebrity. Your place is in the shadows. Let them bring you to the light when they think it's appropriate, after they've established themselves, where they can afford to do so. Now, the other thing to also keep in mind is this. You may not have a regular job. They may give you a job with them in some capacity. Don't complain about the job. Keep all of that to yourself. God help you, don't share this with family or friends. You might have somebody in there that's trying to become famous overnight. And they go on a podcast or something like that and they spill everything about what you said. And now you got a problem with your partner. Now, how long will you have to live in this bubble? It depends on how relevant that celebrity that you're with is. As they become more famous, as they become more successful, things start to ease up a bit. As they're trying to get to that, things are going to be tight. And it's going to take some time. Now, other things. Don't open your mouth and start bragging to people about who's your partner. In fact, it's best not to let anyone know who you're dating. Let them find out through the media, through your partner, through that avenue, that channel. Don't be braggadocious and going out there, especially you ladies who are with a famous guy or wealthy guy, going out, telling your girlfriends you got it like that and going to all of these different functions and everything with you being the queen bee and everybody else is like under you. This will get you dismounted quicker than anything else. And I'm pointing these things out because those of you who are spending your lives trying to chase fame, these are some of the things you will have to contend with successful people. And they don't just have to be celebrities. They could be wealthy people. Now, as your partner introduces you to people along the way, you're starting to establish a brand as a couple, and then eventually it may splinter off where you establish personal relationships with some of the people they've introduced you to, or she's introduced you to, or he introduced you to. The main thing is, don't abuse the privilege. because it is a privilege, it's not a right. Now, another problem that I see a lot, because Monica and I used to see this a lot with people who were dating individuals that were wealthy. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know who my husband is? Don't you know who my boyfriend is? Uh-uh. Don't go that route. If someone is being rude, as far as, take for instance, you're at a restaurant or something like that, if they're being rude, the way you hurt them is not to patronize them. You take the money away from them that they would have earned had you been satisfied. That hurts worse than any words you could say, because that's impacting their way of life. That's impacting the cost of living. You have just denied them something that they might have to work twice as hard for. That's your payback. Now, etiquette, very important. So if you guys are out eating somewhere, your manners have to be impeccable, because you never know who's watching. So for some of you, you can't be yourselves. Already you see this, don't you? Like I said, this lifestyle is not made for everyone. A lot of dating coaches don't talk about this shit, do they? Of course not. But what I'm telling you is this. You never know what kind of situation you might be exposed to in life. That's what I'm getting at. Your partner may not be able to be themselves until you guys get away from the limelight and everything and go somewhere where you guys can let your hair down, eat at a fast food restaurant, and the people may recognize your partner, but by the time they can react, you guys have got your order and gone. And you'll have vignettes at times where your partner can just be who they are. Now, once you've established success, once your partner has, it's a whole different world. Because at that point, you don't have to go and kowtow. In my past relationship, I didn't have that to worry about as much because she was already established. She wasn't famous, but she was wealthy as hell. And see, that's the thing. There's a different level of comfort when a person has kind of made it and they don't necessarily have to still try to climb that ladder and watch all the protocols. Now, there are some people, especially if you're in Hollywood, they will make recommendations about who you should be with, who you should be seen with. And you kind of have to watch who you hang around. So some of those hood friends that you had in the past, you may have to let them go by the wayside. I know you want to impress them because you made it and you want to show off. Uh-uh. Now, the other thing that you have to be mindful of is not to be used by them or your family as a conduit to transfer wealth from your partner to them. You don't want to get in the habit of asking your partner for things on behalf of family and friends. Let them determine. Because once that celeb feels as though they're being used, you have no use to them, because they could find you anywhere. You're not special. This includes things such as trying to show up and going to maybe an establishment or a nightclub and then putting drinks and things like that on your partner's tab without them knowing it, or using their credit cards to buying things without them knowing it. All of that shit's off the table. You don't do that. That's not your place. And another thing to keep in mind, don't have this foolish mindset that some people have that, oh, you know what? She's got a $20 million contract, so that means we have $20 million to spend. In actuality, she have about maybe $8 to $9 million. Because the rest of it's going to go for taxes and overhead. You always look at it about 40% of whatever a person gets. Like, you see these football players, and they get a $256 million contract, Well, you look at it, they'll probably wind up with maybe 115, 116 million after everything's over with. Because a lot of that money's going to taxes and overhead. So these are things you have to understand. If you look at what Shaq did, when Shaq was talking about when he first got an NBA, when he signed that contract, he thought he had all that money, and he went out and bought all these cars and bought all of these different things, and then started to realize that all of his money for his first check, for his first year, had already been eaten up. Gilbert Arenas talked about the same thing when he got his first check in the NBA. Went and bought him an Escalade, and I think he bought a necklace or something. And for the rest of the year, he had to make it up for $400 per month. You have to watch yourself. And if your partner is spending lavishly, you may want to get with an accountant or their bookkeeper and talk to your partner and the bookkeeper to convey, hey, you know what? You're living beyond your means. Now, there's a good possibility your partner would say, go to hell. I know what I'm doing. You might want to get off that gravy train at that point because of the fact that this person may wind up with nothing, even though they're living decadently and lavishly now. They may be one of these artists later on in life trying to make it. You see them in these fucked up commercials or infomercials trying to make ends meet. You don't want to necessarily be on that ride with an irresponsible person. Just because a person is wealthy and famous does not mean that they're responsible. That means that they're wealthy and famous. Now, with this, you cannot allow your core values to be warped either, because you're going to be exposed to a lot of things that normally either probably would have no interest in or probably wouldn't be exposed to. Drugs, alcohol, that kind of thing. Please understand one thing. With those vices, that's not a solution, and that's a road that leads to nowhere. And some people, they get upset and frustrated because they're in that bubble, and they're kind of alone. Partner's gone all the time traveling. You're there by yourself to enough. You have this lavish home, you have these luxury cars, you have this staff, and you bring your friends over every once in a while, but you're still not where you feel as though you could be yourself. Those things happen. So you have to adjust. Now, this doesn't apply to everyone because everyone has a different situation, but I'm just going over some of the fundamentals that will help you in some of these environments. Your grammatical skills are going to be very important. I can't stress that enough. Because the last thing that they would want is for you to embarrass them by breaking verbs, because then that will have a reflection on them. How so? Well, they'll look at it from the standpoint of, well, look at the mentality of the person this individual is dating. So that means that the apple doesn't fall too far away from the tree. And it could put you in a very negative perception. Another thing. Don't start lying. Mendacity is not a good thing to have associated with you. Well, you know, I'm working on this project and, I'm doing it independent of my partner and you don't have nothing going on. Because the media and the public, they're going to come back on you with that. So what happened to this project you were working on? You don't want that to happen. Now, another thing that you have to realize, it depends on when you meet this person. Like Darlene right now in Atlanta, she's starting out in the early stages of her career. She's in her early 20s. But now, take for instance, you're starting out that way. And a lot of times you're naive, especially if you're a celeb and you're now kind of getting to that point of being a little famous through the momentum, and you're trying to take your friends with you. We see this with rappers all the time, with different artists. They'll go and have this entourage of people that they're trying to take care of, and these people may have credit cards in the artist's name or may be on their accounts for things. The one thing you're going to need to do as that person's partner is to limit the number of people that are not necessary around your partner. The leeches. You're going to have their back in that regard. Because there will be plenty of them. Everybody wants to get fed. Everybody wants to get paid. Everybody wants notoriety. So you're going to have to be the filter on that. Because that person may think that all of their friends are wishing the best for them. Yeah, but they're also wishing the best for themselves too. Including family members. Now, in this capacity, you may not be liked by a lot of people. And this is where you probably have to get with the agent, the management team, in order to create this fortress around the around your partner. So in this way, you're protecting them, and there should only be a very few number of people associated. The reason for this, you can look at what happened with MC Hammer as a prime example. He tried to help everybody, true enough. But there wasn't enough money to help everybody. There are plenty of artists that have done this throughout the past. And so you got to help the people that you can, that mean the most. The rest. And then you will also have to deal with another thing too, where they don't like you, they'll bypass you, try to get to the celeb or the person that's really got the resources, and try to get a bug in their ear to get rid of you. Now, in the early stages, this is a common thing that happens where they dump somebody that's actually got their best interest at heart in order to bring the people in that don't, because they've known them longer than they've known you. Don't feel as though that's a loss. Walk away from that. Let them eat that person alive, because that's what's going to happen. And then you got to deal with the entitled members, the entitled friends, the entitled family members who feel as though, okay, you bought me a 2024 Mercedes. 2025 is coming up. When am I getting that one? Those kind of folks. And they run the guilt trip on it. And this could be, even if you won the lottery or if you came into a settlement, you name it. The same group dynamics appear. Now, another thing too. You may be ambushed by media, meaning that a reporter from some blog or something is a podcast or whatever is following you around because you're dating a certain celebrity and they want to get a comment from you. Say nothing. Make them look as if they're encroaching on your space. Excuse me, could you please step aside so I can get to my car? Now, they're going to classify that as being rude. And they'll probably put that out there as you're being rude because you didn't answer any of their questions, you didn't speak to them. The reason why you're doing this is because of the fact that you might not have discussed this with your partner, you might not have discussed it with their manager or their agent, and you want to stay neutral. Let your partner be the one showing the outrage of the media encroaching upon your partner's space. In that way, that makes you look like a victim. And the public will pull for you as opposed to the media. Media says you're mean. Celebrity says they encroached and they had violated their partner. Who are they going to like the most? The person with the fame. That's the way it works. Now, a couple other things here. You may not be treated on the same level as your partner is in certain establishments if your partner's not present. You might want to have a talk with your partner about that prior to any kind of engagement or interaction. So in that way, There would be an understanding. They might tell you, well, you know, honey, don't go to this restaurant without me because, yeah, the staff is a little different there. They're a little special. So there'll be certain places where you'll be able to go where you may be treated better than others. And then what you'll find is that your celebrity partner won't frequent those places where there will be problems with you going there independent of them. A lot of restaurateurs don't realize that. And hotels, I might add as well. Now, the other thing that you may have to contend with, there may be something that's written about your partner online or in the media that really pisses you off. Don't react. Let their machine handle it. The reason why people put things out there that are controversial, conspiracy theories and all that, so they can get attention. They want to be famous too. Even if it's being famous for telling a lie. They just want their name heard in the media. Don't give them that luxury. Just like your partner had to work for their fame, they should have to work for it too. And not right off the back of your celebrity partner. We'll talk more in just a moment.
To legally record and publish a karaoke song on platforms like Amuse, you typically need to obtain the necessary licenses for both the musical composition and the sound recording. Here are the general steps. Obtain a mechanical license. This license grants you the right to reproduce and distribute a copyrighted musical composition. You can obtain a mechanical license through organizations like the Harry Fox Agency, HFA, in the United States or directly from the copyright holder. Secure a synchronization license. Since karaoke involves syncing your performance to a pre-existing musical composition, you may need a synchronization license. This license allows you to use the song in conjunction with visual media. Permission for public performance. Karaoke involves performing a song in public, even if it's online. Ensure you have the necessary permissions or licenses for public performance. Sound recording license. If you are using a pre-existing instrumental track or backing track for your karaoke performance, you need to ensure you have the appropriate rights to use that recording. This may involve obtaining a license directly from the sound recording copyright holder or using royalty-free tracks. Publishing on Amuse. Once you have obtained all the necessary licenses, you can upload your karaoke recording to platforms like Amuse for distribution. Make sure to follow the guidelines and terms of service. Credit and royalties. Ensure proper crediting of the original songwriters and composers. Royalties may also need to be paid to the copyright holders, depending on the terms of your licenses. It's essential to research and understand the specific copyright laws and regulations in your country or region, as they may vary. Additionally, consulting with a legal expert specializing in music copyright can provide further guidance and ensure compliance with all legal requirements.
Now, you need to be mindful also that there may be some people that are very close to him or her that may not want you around. And I'm talking about managers, agents, lawyers, whomever. And be mindful of that and take it to heart because it could very well be that they see something in you that may not be suitable for your partner's success. Now, usually they stay out of this situation. However, when you're first starting out, your partner's first starting out, it may be just that. It could be an A&R manager that may not want you around. Or it could be someone else that may think you're a nuisance. Now, you're looking out for your partner's best interests, of course. But the thing is that being that they don't have the relationship you have with your partner, you may be very suspicious of them. And there's nothing wrong with that. And you might want to point this out to your partner as well, because in some cases, they can fire some of the people that may not measure up to the standard. And they might want to get you out of the way because of the fact that you see through them. Now, The other thing, too, to keep in mind, I know a lot of people want to have their loved one as their manager, that kind of thing. You see this a lot with kids where they have their parents as the manager. What usually happens? We've seen it over and over again, haven't we? Britney Spears, Lindsay Lohan, you go down the list. Where things didn't quite come out so well. Gary Coleman. What you have to look at is you want to be in a situation where you're keeping your eyes on your partner's career because you genuinely care about your partner. You love your partner. You want them, not the fame. If you're there for only the fame and then them, you're a fucked up individual. You need to go for that person because what happens when their career probably fails or they're no longer being called by their agent or it's a situation where they go into this lull of no work? That's a good opportunity to strengthen the bond in your relationship instead of walking away like a lot of people do. You look at it now, a lot of artists have to literally go on tour just to make a living because the streaming money is not that great. And it's hard for a lot of these older artists who would normally have their music played, and now many of the people in the younger generation never heard of the group. And now their music is being sampled. And of course, that's a whole different dynamic, a reintroduction into the music world with some. Now, the one thing to keep in mind is everything in life is a bell curve, including our own existence. You start out from birth, you go up, you peak, and then you decline back to the level in which you started at a different space and time. This is the way everything works. So, you're trying to help this partner of yours maximize the full benefit of their rise and success. And when it does go into decline, where at least your partner has some control over how it goes down. Most entertainers and athletes pride themselves on still being relevant and still being old. You look at quarterbacks. They last until their 40s in some cases. You look at some of these artists that are still having their music played, and they started out in the 70s, 60s. Rolling Stones, they could still fill up an arena. Beyonce started in the 90s. She could still fill an arena. Taylor Swift started in the early 2000s. She could fill an arena. So what it comes down to now is that as these people plan and go through their careers, because there's a lot of career planning that has to go along with this, and you can contribute to that as well. Look at some of the markets, look at some of the areas that may have been overlooked by your partner and their management team. There may be a whole new niche for you where you could be reintroduced on a different level. You never know. Now, the other thing we can look at is this. As a partner of this successful person, please understand a couple of things. Once you've been exposed to this type of lifestyle, and you know how the game is played, you know how the politics is played, you know what parties to attend, which ones not to, and you start to comport yourself to the environment, you'd be surprised the longevity you'll have. Because some of those people you met along the way with your partner, as they age, just like anyone else, they're going to have fewer friends. So you might become closer over a period of time than you were in the beginning. I'll see you when I see you. And then it turns into, hey, how you doing today? What you guys have for breakfast? And these relationships evolve and develop. Now, The other thing, too, to keep in mind as well, if you have a disagreement with your partner, you guys can't get along, end it. I know you're going to hate to see all of the good stuff go away, but end it. If that partner is throwing things in your face that they've done for you, that's the way you're going to have to live. If they don't see anything beyond the scope of, I'm your provider, you're my employee, basically, how long are you going to take that humiliation? You don't have to. But see, some people do because their quest for fame and wealth is so important to them, it's past their own moral standards, values, and dignity. You look at some of the things that are coming out now in 2024, and there's going to be a lot more coming out this year on people, because they sat by complacently and watched these things go down because they were in that pursuit. Now, another thing that you may have to keep in mind, diversity, as far as diversifying some of the resources with your partner. What I mean by that is researching and seeing other avenues where there are legitimate ways for them to advance outside of their profession and career. They may want to open up a business of some sort as a fallback, just in case the career goes on a hiatus. They have something that's still successful and still profitable, where they're still generating revenue, so those resources are not squandered on decadence. So they want to have it that way. Other things. They may want to look at a lawyer and see about creating a corporate foundation, nonprofit foundation, maybe some sort of personal foundation where they will have a foundation trust, I'm talking about, where they will have their resources allocated. Maybe they'll have an irrevocable trust for certain resources. Talk to your lawyers. They can tell you all these good things, but get only people that specialize in the field of law that you're asking about. Don't just get a generic attorney that's going to try to be a jack of all trades, master of none. That's a problem we had back in the IT field. Before you specialized years ago, back in the 80s going into the 90s, they wanted you to know everything about IT. So if they hired you, they want you to be from a network administrator to a damn network technician to a computer technician, all the way up to an infrastructure specialist. They wanted all of that in one person. And God knows, we spent a lot of money on educating ourselves doing that. And then after, of course, the bubble, after the Y2K debacle, they said, oh no, we want specialists in certain fields. So generalists were not looked upon as favorably. So they wanted a programmer. Instead of having an IT person that could do programming, that could do database development, that kind of thing, MySQL and SQL and all the rest. So what started to happen, they started to get serious. And this is what will start to happen as the career of this individual develops. It has to be more specialized, more refined. Because those are dollars that are going to have to hang around for a very long time, because careers do not last forever. Fame, wealth, fortune does not last forever. There's going to come a point where that's got to be retained and sustained. Now, your partner may be inundated with a lot of people. That partner may actually delegate you doing the research to assist them, because it's assisting both of you, in order to find out who's the best professional at whatever level when it comes down to accounting, management, and all of that stuff. And one word of advice I would give you, I know a lot of people would try to start with somebody that was new or someone that's trying to, you know, break into the industry or something like that. You don't have time for that. The stakes are too high. You have to go with someone that has a great reputation and someone that is noteworthy. You could start out maybe with someone small, maybe with someone that's not as specialized. But remember that as your partner's career advances, so will you have to advance your due diligence. You're going to play a major supporting role in this person's life. You're going to be the person that this individual can purge to and tell you how they feel, to express their love and their emotions. You're going to be that person that when they're around, they could be themselves. When they're on stage or when they're in front of the cameras or when they're on the mic, they have to be someone else for the audience benefit and for all of the people that are going to make money off of them. So it's got to be a balance. Now, when it comes down to starting a family, there may need to be in a hiatus for that person for a while to actually take time out in order to develop the family, to bond with the child, and to have that moral support as a unit. Now, some celebrities have kept their spouses and partners out of the limelight. Denzel Washington, Samuel L. Jackson. And the reason for that, and that's a good measure, believe it or not, because what that does, it creates a boundary. No, you talk to me, I'm the celebrity. You don't go talking to my wife, you don't go talking to my family. I'm the person. And they're not doing this out of self-aggrandizement, they're doing it out of protecting their family. A lot of celebrities have done this and do this today. If they're not in the business, they don't put them in the business. Which is a good thing because it lessens the burden of the partner. It doesn't put them in awkward situations. Now, the perception for some people is that they'll see them come out of the limousine during the Oscars or these other events, and the assumption is they're wealthy. It's not always the case. Sometimes you've made more money as a regular layperson than they did the whole year, but they don't project that image. Many times those dresses have to be returned to the designer, and more than likely they're going to be auctioned off because this person wore it on the red carpet. Those diamonds, they have to be returned after the event. And you see them change clothes for the governor's ball or whatever other event they're attending later on that evening. Now, the whole thing comes down to, folks, you have to separate the illusion from the reality. Because even though you have pursued your dream to be with someone who's successful, famous, rich, whatever, you also have to look at the practical side of things. You have to ask yourself, how is this person treating me? How is our relationship functioning? Is it functioning well? What areas of improvement? Just like you would any normal relationship. Don't make any exemptions because of the money or because of the fame. Relationships require responsibility, accountability, and integrity, no matter what level. Sometimes what we do, especially if we didn't come from money, we'll kind of, that's okay. Knowing good and well, someone in your own peer group you would never do that with. You'd hold them accountable. This is what you have to do here. Now, influences of drugs, alcohol, those kind of things, they're usually introduced by other people if the person's not dealing with them. And it may be your job to be the beacon to keep that individual away from that mess. Again, you don't want them to fuck up the celebrity's opportunity that will impact both of you going forward in life. The worst thing in the world to have happen is to smoke all the money up in drugs, and then you're in your 60s trying to make ends meet on Social Security, and you've blown everything and don't know where it went. It's a different feeling when you voluntarily spent and know where every dollar went. That's a whole different story. And you deliberately did it. That's a different thing. But when you're under some sort of substance and everybody's feeding off of you, and you wind up with nothing, boom. Now, another thing, financial matters as far as clearly defining what's going to happen with the trust, the wills, and those kind of things, very important. Now, you want to have that talk with your partner to find out what's what. Because what usually happens when people don't have a will or the thing goes into probate, the attorneys are going to eat that money up. So these things will have to be sat down and talked about. Now, I know a lot of you are thinking, well, I wouldn't have the leverage with this successful person to really bring that up. Well, what you got to remember, that component of your character, that's the weight that's keeping you with that person. They already know you're not wealthy, but they like many things about you and they love you. And so that has some validity. It has some weight. When I used to make comments to Monica, that one time she wanted to buy that big-ass expensive watch over there in Monte Carlo. And I told her, I said, you realize that's more than I'm making my lifetime. I said, but I like it. I said, yeah, well, you know, you are at liberty to purchase it. It's your money. But she didn't need the watch. She had 22 watches at home. I counted them. All high end. And she said, you're right. I really don't need it. She started to become a little bit more practical. Not because I wanted her not to buy the watch, but what I wanted her to see was, what's going to happen? You're going to buy it? You're going to put it in your display case at home, just like you did with the rest of them. The majority of the time, she never wore a watch. But who was I to control what she did? But one thing I appreciated, she was considerate in the sense that she really thought about it and she really could not justify buying a watch because she really didn't need enough. She had 22. The other thing you will realize, your partner will be comped for different things, and being that you're part of them and they're taking you with them to different places, you'll be exposed to things that you weren't exposed to or the average layperson's not exposed to. And that's a whole different perspective. And you'll have a different appreciation after you see it, after you experience it. You have a different perspective on things. They happen. Now, the other thing you have to think about, rearing children, if you have children, probably private school. They're probably going to have a pristine life, much better than you had, and probably much better than that wealthier partner had, depending. And there may be some envy there, but you got to manage that. People get envious of partners all the time because of success, opportunity, those kind of things. Now, a word to the wise, to you that are dealing with partners that are on the cusp of success. Somebody that's trying out for an NFL team, for instance. Your partner's going for an NBA contract or something of that sort. Don't complain. There have been a many women left behind by their college boyfriend because of that negative overtone of, I don't know, why are you doing all that? You need to just go ahead and get that business degree and start working. And he gets selected for the draft. And you're looking like an ass. And he goes to training camp. And when he comes back home, he's got another woman on his arm. Finer than you, younger than you. And you wonder why. That's because while you were pulling back being negative, that other woman knew his stats, knew things that he liked personally, because she studied him. And you didn't. You complained about it. See, a lot of women lose men over that. Don't let it happen to you. Now, other things you'll probably contend with when it comes to these relationships. You may have to deal with the disgruntled side of people. The people that don't like your partner. They get on social media. Oh, his last movie sucked. Her last song sucked. Again, you block them. That's all you have to do. Don't argue with them. You have to be above the fray. See, the one thing you have to remember is when you give the attention to someone who doesn't deserve it because of something they said in order to get the attention, you've now validated them, and they're going back and telling their friends, oh, I had an argument with so-and-so. They're like, ooh, I screenshot the thing, and they're posting it. Now they have a whole podcast about the interaction with you. Don't go there. Also, treat wait staff at restaurants and establishments very well. Do not berate them. Do not look down upon them in the sense that some celebrities do. It's best not to. Tip with gratuity. Be respectful. They will carry you a very long way in life. Restaurant could be booked. They'll find a table. That's the way it works. Now, you're probably saying this is a lot of politics. It is. It's a hell of a lot of politics. And you have to know how to position yourselves in order to be successful with your partner if you're going to deal with a relationship of this nature. As I told you before, it's not made for everybody. The way you dress is going to be important. I had custom-made suits from Hong Kong and from Okinawa, Japan, when I was overseas. And when I was with Monica, she liked them, but she said, you know what? We need to give you a more sleek look. I'm going to get you a couple of Canalis and a couple of Zingas because they will have more of a sleek look. Well, most of the suits that I received, that I got, that I purchased overseas, had a maid, were suits I saw at a GQ magazine. We just took the GQ magazine, pointed at what we wanted, and the guy made it, along with the silk shirts, ties, and all the rest. But she told me, she said, well, this attire is nice, but where we're going, you need to be a little bit more sleeker. I didn't take offense to that. Those suits fit great. I still say they didn't fit as good as the one I had made in Asia, because those were like nice suits. Just like I was wearing my skin. And no, they weren't these skinny jean type things. I didn't look like Vladimir Putin, because Vladimir Putin looks like he just beat up his little brother and put on a suit. I don't know why I say it. There were some weird looking suits on there. So you don't take offense when they make the suggestion, because they're doing it for your image as well. They're just making a suggestion. They're not making you wear something. I could have worn what I wanted, but she told me it would look better. And she was right. Got compliments on the suit. That's pretty cool. So these are things that you will have to navigate around. Now, another thing too is the pressure. There will be a lot of pressure, a lot of scheduling, and there'll be times where you'll have to fly out to meet your partner at places because they'll be working in different places. And you got to be flexible. You know, I found it kind of ironic because I was working when I met Monica. I was in the Marine Corps when I met her initially. And then after I got out, I got jobs and things. And she would always look at me working a job as an inconvenience. And she said, I don't know why you're doing that. Hell, I can give you the money that you need. I appreciated the thought, but I didn't want to become weak and dependent. And some of you will have to make the compromise. Now, this is, of course, different from women. And if you have a man that's successful like this, well, she may be with the children, and he may send for her and the kids, or maybe her, to visit wherever he is. But when it's a woman that's in a situation like that, she may expect the man just to come along. Don't worry about, I got you covered. It depends. But as men, we still want to work, right? Now, you want to always position yourself in a frame of mind that this can go away at any time. You could be back working the regular job you were working, living the regular life you lived, and you should be able to do it without missing a beat. The thing is not to get spoiled, not to get saturated. You got to remember, this is the lifestyle for that person that they're sharing with you. It's not your lifestyle. You didn't create this. And as long as you are abundantly aware of that, you will stay grounded. It's when you get caught up in it, you don't realize it. Now, one thing not to get mad at your partner about. If you came in and you kind of lighten the ass as far as resources and that kind of thing, and maybe on your education or whatever, if they want you to go back to school because they think it would benefit you, you might want to take a look at that. The reason being is this. They want you to be able to sustain yourself. There's some people that have sent their wives back to business school when they became successful so that the wife can be a part of the business and run it. This is essential. You do not want to be one of these hands-off partners. Your successful partner passes away and you've been only accustomed to shopping and spending money, then all of a sudden the business partners come in and they freeze you out of all the assets. And before you know it, you got to give up the car, the house, and everything else. You don't want to be that person. Now, one thing that a lot of men do, they'll make sure that their woman has an education and can fend for herself. You look at a situation like with Bill Gates, who married Melinda French. She had an MBA. She was already working for Microsoft. So she had something to fall back on. She was not going to be one of those women, even after her divorce. She didn't fall back into poverty, that's for damn sure. And even if she didn't get a dime from Bill Gates, she still had her education, she still had her career, her experience. You don't want to be so codependent on that person's income that you neglect your own. Just saying. And it also depends on the way you present your relationship. You look at Oprah and Stedman. They aren't married, but people respect the fact that they are a couple. Even though they call themselves friends, people still respect them as a couple. Kurt Russell, Goldie Hawn, same thing. Hollywood respected them as a couple. It depends on how you brand and position yourselves will be the way you're accepted. But as a couple, you have control over the perception of you. And the only way that can be skewed is if one of you are not in sync with the other. So you see how complex this can be overall. And some of you are thinking, I don't think I'd want to deal with that. And others of you are saying, well, I could do that. That's the reason why I told you, it's not made for everybody. Because sometimes, you know, it's like the dog that's chasing the hubcap on the car. He's running and barking after the car as the car is moving. I used to love doing that in Mississippi. Did not stop the car. And then the dog would just look at me, look at the car, and quit barking. Well, he caught the car, but he can't eat it. As soon as the wheel starts spinning again, he's barking once more. I used to think that was hilarious. But it happens. Well, folks, I'll talk to you on tomorrow. Hope this was helpful. Take care. Love you all. Thank you for supporting the podcast.
We at Romantic Truth appreciate your listenership.
Listeners, you're invited to stream and listen to Jawsen's music on Apple Music, Amazon Music, Spotify, AudioMac, or Deezer. Type in Jawsen in the search for artists to follow and like modern instrumental music from his discography.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those solely of the host and are not condoned or endorsed by Romantic Truth, Anchor, or any of its affiliates.
The advice given herein is the expressed opinion of the host and not to be used for legal, marital, or family, counseling, or for professional practice purposes. In the event for professional assistance, please contact the local licensed professional family counselor, marriage counselor, or social services professional in your region.
If you need someone to talk to in regards to help, you may contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255, available 24 hours. All correspondences read on the show have been pre-screened and pre-approved by the submitter to be aired on the show.
Be advised that all of the background music of production not provided by Anchor is owned by James Adams and Jawsen 1 Music, exclusively licensed for this Romantic Truth podcast under waiver.
Please understand that there were no people or animals hurt in the segments of this show, including plants. All sound effects were improvised in the studio setting with props. We are an equal opportunity employer with 2 Yorkie poodles and a rat terrier as the security detail.
Please be advised that the content of this podcast is under copyright by Romantic Truth and James Adams.